trials and difficult times that others have makes us look at us and say, how can we even call ourselves, you know, Christians, followers of Christ, except we know we're going to have trials someday. Well, I'd like to just read the account of Jesus calming the storm in all three of the synoptic gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So if you want to read along with me or just listen as I read, that's fine too. We're going to read Matthew first, Matthew chapter 8 first. It's verses 23 through 27, Matthew 8, 23 through 27. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him? And to read the account, the same account, I hate to call it a story, because it's an account, it's a record, it's not just a story. Sometimes people think of a story as not true, but this is the truth. This is a, so it's Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And we're going to read through verse 41. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then the same account in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as he sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. You know, powerful account of what Jesus did, what his disciples saw, and how he called them little faith. Where is your faith? Well, then I'll tell you, it's not a true story, but something that somebody told me. I think they told me this just to make fun of me. But they said there was a man, and he went out in his little sailboat. And a storm arose, and his boat started to sink. So he prayed. He prayed, Lord, calm this storm. He said, I know you've done it before. I pray that you calm this storm for me. So not long after he prayed, a fisherman came up. A fisherman with their boat came up, and they said, get in the boat with us. Your boat is sinking. But he said, no, I'm going to wait. The Lord's going to calm this storm for me. Well, the fisherman kind of looked strange, but they left him there. Not long after that, the Coast Guard pulled up next to him and they were, get in this boat, your boat is sinking. And he said the same thing. I prayed and the Lord's going to calm this storm. I don't need to get in the boat with you. Well, not long after that, a helicopter came. The waves were bad and the storm was bad, and the helicopter comes down to rescue him. But he won't get in the helicopter. He won't be rescued. And you know what happened? His boat sank. He drowned. Well, he was a praying man. He believed God would calm the storm. So he goes up to heaven and he asks the Lord. He said, Lord, why didn't you calm the storm? He said, well, I sent the fishermen, you wouldn't get in. I sent the Coast Guard, you wouldn't get in their boat. I even sent a helicopter. So I guess they told me that story just to make me question my faith, make me question whether the Lord could really calm the storm or not. But it just goes on to help us to think, well, you know, what do we believe? You know, I mean, do we believe God will save us? Do we believe God will calm a storm? Or when we pray, but that's not really what I wanted to talk about tonight. It will tie it in at the end, but I wanted to share that because the story that person told me, you know, it does kind of make you think about things in these days when we don't know who to believe or what to believe. You know, we hear all this talk about COVID and the vaccine and wearing a mask, and sometimes we just, so much out there, we don't know what to believe. Well, I really want to talk about one of the Psalms tonight, Psalm number 20. That's our text will come from that tonight. Psalm 20, verse 1, it says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. I mean, in the King James, the New King James Version, it says, may the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. May the name of the Lord, may the name of God of Jacob defend thee. So it's all, but I like to read it. Lord hears thee in the day of trouble. You know, that's what I like to, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defends thee. And then the same thing in the rest of the verses. Send thee help. No, may the Lord send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. I like it to read, send us help. The Lord sends us help from the sanctuary. Verse 3, the Lord remembers all thy offerings and accepts thy burnt sacrifices. The Lord grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. The Lord grants the things that you pray, the desires of your heart. Verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. You know, we will rejoice in thy salvation. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. We'll set up our flags and we will have victory. The Lord fulfills all thy petitions. The Lord hears all our prayers and fulfills all our petitions. Verse 6, now know I that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. The Lord will hear those, you know. The Lord will hear us from his holy heaven. And this is the verse that I'm really talking about tonight. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. They are brought down, those who trust in chariots and those who trust in horses, they are brought down and fallen. But we that remember the name of the Lord, stand upright. Save, Lord. Save us, Lord. And let the King hear us when we call. Let the King of Kings hear us when we call. Amen. So the title of our message tonight is Remember the Lord in the Day of Trouble. From the first verse, you know, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, and then we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. So remember the Lord in the day of trouble. You know, verse 7 that we're going to talk about a little bit, you know, if you look at your Bible, you see the trust is in italics, probably. That means the translator added that word. You know, it really could read some chariots, some horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some, you know, remember chariots, some remember horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. So it's, you know, some of these or some of those who trust in chariots, and some of these or some of those will trust in horses. But as for us, we're going to remember the Lord. It says, those that trust in horses, those that trust in chariots are brought down and fallen. But we're risen. We're going to stand upright. So that's we don't really know who to trust. I mean, that's the truth. Today, you hear the news, you hear the reports, you hear what some doctors say, you read what some reports are, and you really don't know what to trust, who to trust. But I know we remember the Lord. No matter what happens, we're going to remember what the Lord has done. And we're going to put our trust in Him. No, that's what the psalm says a little further on in Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It said, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men, to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, right? It's better to trust in the Lord. So, because we want to remember what the Lord has done. Remember, like verse 105, verse 5 says, remember His marvelous works. Remember what the Lord has done, His marvelous works. Remember His wonders, His miracles. Remember His judgments. The Lord only does what's right. You know, when the Lord does something, it's what's right. He never does what's wrong. You know, so His judgments are right. His judgments are righteous and true altogether. We know that. But when we look at man, we look at like some looking at some. Remembering horses and some remembering chariots, some looking to man, some looking to the world. Kind of makes me think of people that, like when the nation of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world.
That's right.
It's, you know, often when we study about the nation of Israel wanting to go back to Egypt, it's like us wanting to go back to the ways of the world. And you know, that's not what we want to do. Right. In fact, you know, just looking at some of the healing scriptures and the commandment, you know, the first commandment, Exodus 22, says, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord that's brought you out of the things of the world, out of the house of bondage. You know, the world is full of sin, and the Lord wants us out of the house of bondage, out of the sin, out of the bondage of the world. You know, He says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. The gods of the world are not to be our gods. the things of the world, you know, the things that the world trusts. They say that that's, oh, I don't have, they say we don't have any other gods. But when they serve something and trust in something so much, it's like a god. You know, if you put all your trust in money, then money is your god. If you put all your trust in your job, then your job is your god. If you put all your trust in the medical profession, all your trust in medicine, then that's like a god. And we're not supposed to make things of the world our god. In fact, one of the healing verses that we like to quote is Exodus 15:26. I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I've brought upon the Egyptians, which I've brought upon the world. I'll put none of these diseases that I've put on the Egyptians on you. Because I am the Lord your healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, I'll put none of the diseases of the world, none of the diseases of the Egyptians on you. And then the same idea in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt upon thee. You know, so that's a promise that we want to stand on. We're separate from the world. We're different from the world. We don't do the things that the world does. Amen. We follow what the Lord teaches. The world doesn't want to follow God. They don't want to follow the laws of God. They don't want to serve the Lord. They don't want to honor Him and love Him. But we do. Amen. So the Lord makes a promise to us that He won't put the diseases of the world on us. He won't put the diseases of Egypt on us. He'll deliver us from this. He'll be the God that heals us. In fact, the prophet Isaiah talks about those who go down to Egypt, who go down to the world. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 31, turn to Isaiah 31. It's just so clear here. Isaiah 31. Let me turn there. Verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many. You know, woe to them who go to Egypt for help. Woe to those who go to the world for help and stay on horses. Or the word stay could be rely or even lean. You know, we know that scripture, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding. You know, that Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, lean not on thy own understanding. So don't lean on horses. Don't lean on the things of the world. Don't trust in chariots. Amen. The things of the world. You know, what are these horses or chariots in today's world? It's just the things that the world believes can protect them, can bless them. But Isaiah saying the word of the Lord, woe to those who go to Egypt for help. Or they trust in horsemen because they are very strong. But they don't look to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. You know, woe to those who are looking to the world to help them. Instead of looking to the Holy One of Israel, they don't seek the Lord. Verse 3 says, now the Egyptians are men. You're trusting in the Egyptians, they're just men. You're trusting in the world, you're trusting in men, not God.
That's right.
With their horses, and their horses are flesh. The world that people trust in is men, not God. And their horses are flesh, not spirit. I mean, our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is spirit. We don't fight against men and women. We fight against wicked spirits in high places. Amen. You know, we know, we read in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Amen. So we know that sickness is of the devil. Continuing in verse 3, it says, "When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helps shall fall, and he that is helped shall fall down." If you go to the world, if you believe the world and trust in the world, the Lord says, the one that helps and the one that is helped, both the helper and the helped shall fall down. And they shall all fail together. You start putting your trust in the world, the helpers and the helped are both going to fall down. They'll fail. They'll fail together. Amen. And then we can read the same sort of idea in chapter 30. You know, Isaiah is prophesying again. A little more in chapter 30. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." You know, they want advice, they want help. Right. They want to know what to do. "They take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." I mean, that part of the verse, that cover with a covering, it's kind of the idea of pouring out, you know, pouring out, like if you would pour out a golden image, pour out an idol. But it's like pouring out, instead of the Spirit pouring out, you know, we go to the Holy Spirit and He'll pour out a blessing on us. Amen. You know, we don't want to let the world pour out on us, but let the Holy Spirit pour out on us. It says that, you know, where those who make idols or make something else pour out on something else, they add sin to sin. Verse 2, that walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. So instead of going to the Lord, they go to the world to ask for strength. And it says the strength of Pharaoh is like to trust in the shadow of Egypt. How can you trust in a shadow? It's nothing. But those who trust in man, even in a Pharaoh, even in the leader of the country, is like trusting in a shadow. Verse 3, "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust of the shadow of Egypt your confusion." You know, the Egyptians are men. They're not God. You're trusting in a shadow. It's going to be a shame and a disgrace. And we continue on reading. It says in verse 6, "The burden of the beast of the south." So the burden, when a prophet talks about his burden, it's like his prophecy. He's prophesying of the beast of the south. He says, "Into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and the old lion, the viper and the fiery serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them." I mean, this kind of gives us a picture of those who go to the world. Go to the world. It's like putting all your treasures on an animal and sending them through dangerous places. You know, that's what he's saying. He's saying the donkeys or the asses and the camels are loaded with all the treasures, and they're bringing him to a people who not going to profit them at all, can't do anything for them. But that's what people do. They want to go to the world. They're forced to pay. Some people, you know, they want to even go into the doctors or go into the medical profession. Sometimes people have to mortgage their homes or make huge loans and go into debt. It's dangerous. And the truth is, often these people don't profit them at all. They spend all their money. It's like putting their money, sending it away to dangerous lands. They're putting all their hope in something that's so empty and won't profit them. Verse 7 says, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." You know, they're so... The world can't help us. The world can't help us. That's what he's saying. The Egyptians, their help is in vain, for no purpose. And then Isaiah says, their strength is to sit still. Their strength is to do nothing. They can do nothing for you. That's the strongest thing they can do, is nothing. Because Egypt's help is nothing. The world's help is often nothing. Well, let's continue in reading this part 15 through 18. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning," this is what he's telling us, telling the nation of Israel, "to return to him, in returning and rest shall you be saved." Return to the Lord, rest in the Lord, and you'll be saved. Amen. "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." But you would not. He said, he's telling us and telling the nation of Israel, return to him, trust in him, rest in him, and you'll be saved. You'll be in quietness and in confidence. But so many would not. Verse 16, "But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses." We're going to go with horses. We're going to trust in the world. "Therefore shall you flee." You go to the things of the world, you're going to flee. You say, "We'll ride swift horses." Well, "therefore shall they that pursue you be swift." You think you're going to be able to do it the world's way? The world's way is going to be swifter than your way. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. You know. Many, many, many will go to the world. But they will get nothing for it. There will be... And then same thing in verse 17. At 5,000 shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill, until there's nothing left of you. You know, if you're going to the world, if you're fleeing from the things of the, you know, because the world, the world is giving you nothing, and soon you're going to be nothing. But verse 18 says, "But the Lord is gracious, and therefore," says, "but the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious unto you." Even though many have gone to the world, says the Lord, "therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore he will be exalted." He will be glorified. He will be praised. He will be exalted, "that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment." For the Lord is a God who does right. "Blessed are all they that wait for him." Blessed are those that wait for him, that trust in him, that believe what he says. You know, these are days of trouble. These are days with great storms, days where we don't know what to believe, what not to believe. Where is our faith? Is our faith in the world? I hope not. But can we remember what the Lord has done? You know, we're going to have trials. We're going to have difficulties.
Amen.
But during in the days of difficulty, in the days of trials, we need to remember the Lord in the days of trouble. We need to remember what the Lord has done,
yes,
and what He can do and what He will do.
Amen.
And because we're going to have trials. We know that. We read in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." You're going to have trials. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials, the tough, tough trials which are going to try you, as though something strange is happening. We're going to have trials in this life, in this world. There's nothing we can do about it. Verse 13 says, "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." And we're going to have trials. They're going to come. "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that His glory may be revealed, that you may be glad with exceeding joy." And then in that same book, in chapter 1, verse 6 tells us, chapter 1, verse 6, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." It says you're in trials. You're going through, it's going to be a season of trials. "Greatly rejoice," you know. Verse 7 says, "The trial of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire." Our faith is going to be like gold, tried with fire. But our faith is more precious than gold. But our faith is often tried with fire, fiery trials.
Amen.
And then one more verse, one book up in the book of James, says the same to us, James chapter 1. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." The trying of your faith works patience. "But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You know, when our faith is tried, we have something to remember. You know, we can look back and say, "God was faithful. I went through a trial, and God was faithful."
That's right.
And that's what we want to remember. We want to remember the Lord.
That's right.
in difficult days, in troubled days. We want to look back and say, "You know, I can remember. I went through this. I went through this trial, and God was faithful." So when I go through another trial,
right,
I remember that, and I say, God is faithful. I remember. And these are days of trials and troubles. We need to be able to look back and remember that God was faithful. That we can trust in God. It's better to trust in the Lord. That we can remember the Lord instead of remembering chariots and horses, remembering what the world remembers, because those things are really not going to get you out of trouble. I mean, I'm just thinking of all the trouble that people are having with COVID. They're relying on a vaccine. They're relying on wearing a mask. They're relying on what man says. But many people who got the vaccine still getting COVID. Many people are wearing masks, and it doesn't always help. In fact, who knows what it does? No, nobody really knows. We listen to different people saying different things. Well, I want to go back and talk about remembering what Jesus did when he calmed the storm. Remembering what happened in Matthew 8 and Mark 4 and Luke 8. You know, there arose a great storm, a great tempest. There was a great storm of wind on the lake. So there was a great trial, a great storm. Came up out of nowhere, just like things in our life. Trials, difficulties, problems. They come up out of nowhere. Just like this storm that the apostles went through on the ship with Jesus. In fact, it says, you know, that the ship was covered with waves. The ship was sinking. It was full. It was filled with the water. So that's what happens often. We're going through a trial, and it seems like we're going to die. Our boat is about to sink. And what do? You know, we know the Lord is with us. We know He never forsakes us. We know He's with us at all times. But sometimes it seems like He's asleep. We don't see Him. You know, he's in the back of the boat. We're in the boat with Him, but He's in the back of the boat asleep. You know, if you're in the boat with Jesus, you're going to go through trials. No question about it. So, we're in the boat, but Jesus is asleep. So what do? You know, we wake Him up. We go to Jesus and we wake Him up. We pray. You know, tell it to the Lord. You know, that's what the Lord tells us. You know, and make a request known unto Him. We go to the Lord. And then we tell Him, Lord, save us. Just like in the Gospel of Matthew. Lord, save us. We're about to perish. Well, like in Mark, you know. Lord, don't you care for us? Don't you care that I'm perishing? Luke says, we were in jeopardy. They were in jeopardy, and they're saying, Master, we perish. That's what it feels like. Often we're going through a storm. It's a great storm. It's a great trial. Looks like we're going to sink. Looks like there's nothing we can do. Nobody can help us. We know the Lord is with us, but He doesn't seem to be doing anything. We go to Him, we pray, we say, Lord, help us. We're perishing. Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm about to die? I'm about to be destroyed. Everything I have is about to be taken away. What does the Lord say? Just like He says to the disciples, why are you so fearful? You know, we go to the Lord with panic in our heart. We should have fear in our, we should have faith in our heart, not fear in our heart. Amen. That's what the Lord says. Why are you so fearful? You have little faith? He's asking a question. Why are you so fearful? And He says, where's your faith? Don't you have any faith? Didn't you get faith? Don't you have faith yet? Might be asking, where is your faith? Is your faith in Me? Or is your faith in something else? That's what the Lord does. He tells us, why are you fearful? If you're faithful, then you shouldn't be fearful. And then the Lord hears us and answers our prayer. He says, then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. That's what He does. He speaks to our problem. He gets up. He just speaks to that problem. We trust the Lord, and all of a sudden, a great calm. You know, the Lord fixes it.
Thank you, Lord.
Just like he rebuked the wind and he rebuked the sea, all that raging water, all that storm which we thought was going to cause us to perish, it's gone. And there's a great calm. That's what he says. That's what he tells us. When there's a great storm in our life, he just says, peace, be still. And then it's gone. There's a great calm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whether it's a hurricane or whether it's a hurricane in our lives, we can trust the Lord that he will hear our prayer. Not let us perish, but hear that cry and calm the storm. And then what happens? It's just like what happened to the disciples in the boat. We marvel. We say, wow, what manner of man is this? What kind of God do we serve? That even the wind and the sea obey him. If God can control the wind and the sea, he can certainly bring a calm to any storm we go through. It says, and they feared exceedingly. That's what we need. We need to have a fear of God. Because God can calm any storm. And if the Lord says, why are you fearful? Where's your faith? We need to realize that the Lord can rebuke us for fearing the wrong thing. Because the Lord can calm any storm.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
You know, the disciples were afraid and they wondered, saying, what kind of man is this Lord Jesus that he can command even the winds and the water and they obey him? Nature obeys him. The sea obeys him. You know, there's nothing too great for our God. No trial, no problem, no storm is too much for our God. Amen. You know, with faith, how could we fear? How could we be worried about anything?
Amen.
If we have faith, if we trust in the Lord,
right.
If we don't trust in man, if we don't trust in the things of man, but we put our trust in the Lord, not trust in the world and the things of the world, not trusting in, like we read in Psalm 20, and horses or chariots, the things that the world trusted in to. But we put our trust in God. And we remember what God has done.
Amen.
And we can get through.
Amen.
Through any trial, through any difficulty. Well, let's pray. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do pray that you help us when we go through trials, that you do bring peace to our difficulties. And Lord, show us the way. Help us to know what to do. Help us to know who to trust. Help us to trust you. Let us know that we shouldn't be fearful, but we should be faithful. Father, we know that we're going to go through many, many trials. But we know that we can trust in you.
Yes, Lord.
That you will get us through every storm.
Yes.
In these difficult days, Lord, in these perilous times, in these last days, Lord, we pray that as we go through difficulties, that our faith grows greater and greater.
Yes, Lord.
And we do remember not only the things you did to the great men in the Bible, remember the things that happened to Joseph and to Daniel and to the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We remember those things, Lord, how you delivered them from death, from trials that were terrible. But help us to look back, Lord, and remember things that you did for us, so that you were faithful when we trusted you. We thank you, Father. for hearing us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Am